Master, we pray that you will accept our prayer. We pray that thy Spirit shall help our infirmity to pray through. O God, we've been deceived by our own deceitful, wicked hearts. We have, O Jesus, but thou knowest our hearts and searchest our spirits, and we pray that thy two-edged sword shall be a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And, O God, we pray that the light of the presence and indwelling of Jesus Christ shall expose all the dark places within us, shall cleanse us as you cleansed your disciples, shall purify our souls through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. O God, God, we know that thou dost not work aimlessly, but thy aim and thy purpose is to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now grant, my God, unto us the grace to cooperate with fear and trembling as you work in us to will and to do of thy good pleasure. Amen. I had a session with Dr. Polatutsky some time ago. That's the dentist. And he said, open a little wider. I feel sorry for a dentist. Got to look down your throat. But he has a good many of people from this assembly as customers, and he discussed one of them. He said, she's such a nice lady, such a gracious lady. Now, I won't tell you who he was talking about, but then he said, really, all the people from your church are gracious people. I like that. I thought that was a nice testimony, but of course he only sees them when they have their mouths open. But you know, someone else that got acquainted with a lot of our people said, all the people from Brother Waldfogel's assembly are dumpers. I didn't like that. That was a real saint that said that. And is a saint that knows many of our people. And she says, all the people from Brother Walpole's assembly are dumpers. Now I'd like to ask this day, what do ye more than others? Really, we can't judge our Christian walk by the way we act in meeting, when we shout and praise the Lord and speak in tongues and have a good time. But how do you treat your grocery man? Or your butcher, or baker, or candlestick maker. Boy, some of these saints can be crabs. I tell you they can. They can bawl a butcher out if he doesn't give them just the kind of meat that they wanted. And they can be very nasty with their neighbors, and sometimes not only the ladies, but the male drivers, when they get into some pinch with some other driver. My, I've seen preachers lose all their justification, not to talk about sanctification. In a moment's time, they were turned inside out. Well, what do ye more than others? Jesus would like to say, what do ye more than others? Today, after 33 years of teaching, wouldn't it be a good resolution to start doing the things that we have learned? Wouldn't it be a good thing, instead of just talking about the fruit of the Spirit, to see to it that we bear the fruit of the Spirit? You know, God has wonderful words to say, which we often overlook. He says, what do you more than others? You think you're better than others. You sometimes tell others that you've got something better. You've got more light than others. Well, what do ye more than others? He says, let me read something. I just happened to see it before coming here, and it impressed me. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Let me shake your hand. That's what God called you, holy and beloved. Supposing your butcher call you that. Good morning, elect of God, holy and beloved, what is your pleasure today? Or what if the dentist said, good morning, elect of God, holy and beloved, what is your pleasure? Which tooth aches and hurts? Did you have a sleepless night and are you all out of sorts this morning? But God calls us beloved of God, beloved of God. And when one meets you on the street, what kind of a face do you wear? You carry a lantern before you and light up the darkness of the world. When I was a boy and worked in a large store, and we had all kinds of salesmen there to serve, and all kinds of employees, and some of them we liked to get out of their way, and some of them, and the worst thing was, the most religious ones were the most unbearable ones. Really, they really could, like we heard last night, they were manufacturers of trouble. They were. They made life miserable for everybody. We had a Svenska Poika. He was not only a religious man, not only a big church man, but he was a choir leader. But his life, well, I suppose he had it all on the inside. He was a pretty big man, and there's a lot of room on the inside, but it didn't show on the outside, you see. That was the trouble, and that was the impression I carried away from that religious man with me, because I had dealings with him every day. And there were men there that were worldly men, and they were so kind and so courteous, so thoughtful of me, a poor kid. They would help me all along the way, all they could. They acted like I thought a Christian ought to act. And didn't. What do you more than others? Beloved, we ought to do more than others. We ought to. There was a man there who, I don't know whether he's a Christian or not, but all the boys liked him and everybody liked him. He was always friendly. Always had a smile. Always courteous. You could come to him with your troubles anytime. And you'd always find him the same. But once I saw him angry. And he snapped somebody off that asked him, I don't know what was the matter. And you know what that was like? It was like a dead fly in the ointment. You know, you have a box of beautiful ointment and you open it and you expect to have a beautiful odor meet you, there's a stinking dead fly in it, and it spoils the whole business. Are there dead flies in your ointment? Oh, that ointment of a devoted life. That wonderful ointment of a life lived in Christ, in union with the Son of God. There shouldn't be any dead flies there. There shouldn't be any words that hurt, that defile, that offend. But in many things we offend all. But wouldn't it be a good thing today as we start another 33 years to say, well, now, thank God we've had so much teaching. Now we're going to do it. We're going to practice it. We're going to do what God wants us to do. And what a very wonderful beginning he has for us. Therefore, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. It's time to go to a wedding. Did you know that? And what a wedding! And like little Edith said when she saw another little girl strewing flowers and she was not allowed to do anything, she came home so disgusted. She says, I wish they'd let me be something at a wedding, and if it were only the bride. Well, now listen. I belong to the bridal procession. One of our sisters used to sing, I belong to the bridal profession. Well, with many people, it's just a profession. But how about a possession? How about it? How about it? Sometimes we come to meeting and we're so inward we can't smile. Well, these mouths of ours, well, we've got the faith that we deserve. We've worked hard at it for 50 years to create the mask. And no wonder the children run away when you come down the street. No wonder people get out of your way. No wonder. Don't complain and say, people are not nice to me. Suppose you nice. If you shine, there'll be a reflection in everybody else. Try it once. There will be. But what do ye more than others? Let me ask you solemnly, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is certainly in the midst, what do you do more than others? Now, you may find fault with me. A woman came to me and said, Brother Walpole, boy, did you look dark today. I didn't know it. But she was kind enough to tell me. Kind enough to tell me. My, but you look dark. But what do ye more than others? Listen to what God has to say to his beloved, elect of God. Elect to what? Why, we're called to an invitation. Oh, I have an invitation. I can take my friends along. There's only one condition. You must know redemption's song. So you better put your wedding garment on. You cannot do it there. The wedding bells are soon to ring. You have no time to spare. Now let's see what God has to say about this thing. What shall I put on? Well, put on airs of a very spiritual person. You know how they do that? Das verstehen wir aus dem Epheser. Putting on airs, or I'm that dignified one, you know. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put it on. Women ought to have their heads covered. It is a shame for a woman to pray or prophesy with her head uncovered. And what should you cover it with? Why, the glory of God. Hallelujah. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. I'd like to rub it in this morning. In the name of my Lord Jesus Christ, I really would like to rub it in. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. We ought to put that over our breakfast table, shouldn't we? And nobody dare sip that tea or drink that coffee or open that Wheaties box. Food for champions. No, this is breakfast food for the elect of God, holy and beloved. Don't you forget it. What do ye more than others? To eat our breakfast like the elect of God, holy and beloved, does it make a difference? Beloved, we either invite Jesus Christ or we drive him away. We either get filled with the Holy Ghost or we grieve the Spirit of God. We do. We do. In Him we live and move. In Him we live. Oh, let us grow up into Him in all things. There is that sweet ointment. And it ought to fill the whole house where you live. Shouldn't it? It will. How many a husband that has made life miserable for his wife. My father told about one, and he wrote a poem about her. Her name was Ellen, a German girl. And her husband was a wicked drunkard that would beat his wife. And in the saloon one night, he boasted of his wife's saintliness. Men will do that. They'll be the first ones to recognize God in their wives, even though they have the devil in them. But should I have the devil in me because somebody else does? No, can't. Can't afford to. Ye live no more as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. You've been delivered from the power of darkness. You've been translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Praise God. What do ye more than others? That's the question. Why, what you do, the harlots do. The publicans do. They all live for themselves. Why am I crabbed? Why do I make sarcastic remarks? Why can't I speak courteously and kindly? Because I love myself to the point of fanaticism. That's what it is. It's the mark of the beast. It's the brand of hell. But this drunkard was boasting among his self-genossen about his wife, what a saintly woman she was. And it was getting to be late or early, 2 o'clock in the morning. And they said, never mind, your woman's like other women. He said, I'll prove it to you. You come home with me, I'll get her out of bed, and I'll cause her to cook a meal for the whole gang of you, and then you'll see how she acts. So they made a bet with him. And he dragged the whole gang of the South Breeder to his home, opened up. It was dark, his wife was in bed. He went and said, Ellen, get up, we got company. Yes, darling, right away. And she got up sweetly. What do you more than others? You'd have taken a baseball bat, wouldn't you? Well, no, of course you wouldn't. Being a saint of God, you wouldn't. But you know there are weapons that are stronger than baseball bats. They lodge under your tongue. Oh, you wouldn't take a baseball bat and crack somebody else's skull. I wouldn't either. I'm a preacher. No, but, oh, I've got poisonous darts. Bang! Snip! Hit you right between the eyes. Some poisonous remark. Slightly veiled, of course. Sometimes very much sanctified. A sugary pill. Oh, how we can shoot those poisoned arrows. You don't have to go down to New Guinea to the headhunters. And they can pickle you, too. But Ellen got up sweetly. She got up in God because she'd gone to bed in God. See the difference between the elect of God, holy and beloved? Then she got up and dressed herself. And she said, now, please, just be seated. I'll fix something for you. And presently she had some fried eggs and bacon and coffee and toast and whatnot. And she was just as sweet, and these drunken fellows, they tried to get her goat, and there was no goat there. There was a lamb. Praise the Lord. And you know, the whole gang was conquered. I don't remember, but I think they all got saved. They were conquered. Oh, beloved, that's the power, the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe makes us different. It does. And right in this epistle he says, that ye might. Now, just a moment, I have it here. He prays for them. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord. For this cause also we, since the day we heard it, we heard of your love in the Spirit, do not cease to pray for you. Oh, Paul, stop it. Why, these people are Christians. Why, they're baptized in the Holy Ghost according to Acts 2:4, and they can still get mad. And they can still have their fight. And they can still have dumps. No, they can't. No, Paul says, I heard of your love in the Spirit. Now, I cease not to pray for you. I see that you're elect of God, holy and beloved. How do I know? Because our gospel came not unto you in word only, but when you heard it, you received it as it is in truth, the word of God, which also worketh effectually in you that believe. Has it worked? Effectually, Has it taken those dead flies out of the ointment? Oh, well, those things are unimportant. Just a little fly. Just a little fly. What difference does it make? But it makes the whole thing stink. The whole ointment. That worship of God in spirit and in truth rises as a stench into the nostrils of Jehovah. He that herein serveth God is acceptable to God and to man. How? Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. What do ye more than others? Listen, that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Well, I'm reading it now. Would you like to be filled with the knowledge of his will? Oh, sweet will of God, still hold me closer, but just now I'm sore because my wife didn't iron my shirt right. What does she think I am? Oh, wait a minute. That you might walk worthy of the Lord. Husband, you first of all, because the head of every man is Christ. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Oh, there's an eye that watches my every move. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest my thoughts afar off. Is that your will, God? Is that your will, Lord? Do you desire truth in the inward part? And have you given your only begotten Son to be my way, to be my truth, to be my life? How do I dare present to God something else? Dead fly. Stinking carcass. Why, dead fly makes the perfume of the apothecary, or whatever you call that, antediluvian monster, send forth a stench. Listen to what he says. This is really good. This is a sweet odor. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. God, can I do that? Can I do that, Father? Can I please you like Enoch pleased you and get ready for the rapture? Well, yes. Yes, Jesus tells us how to put on that wedding garment, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Now, isn't that good? That's what the world can't do, and yet some worldly people do very well. I was over in Bellevue some time ago visiting a dying man. And you know the complaint is about the nurses. They don't bother you. You can ring that bell, and they won't come around. And when they do come, they're fresh. And this dying man pointed out to me a Jewish woman. A scrub woman. She was not a nurse. Never dreamed of being a nurse. He said to me, everybody loves her. Day or night, you can just call Sarah and she is there to bring you water and she's there to help you to do anything and never complains. And she was a Jewish woman. No wonder Jesus says the publicans and the harlots will go into the kingdom before you. They say and they do not. Beloved, it's time after 33 years of help and teaching that something happened to us and we got rid of the dead fly. Really. Now, I have no intention of talking at all, but the Lord makes me talk somehow. And so, you bear with me with long suffering and kindness. I have something else to read. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Now what does that mean? That means your whole inside is saturated with mercy. You know the opposite. You know when you get sore at somebody, you feel it in the solar plexus, don't you? When you're jealous, you feel it back here. Or where do you feel it? It's in your bowels. That's where this vermin crawls around before it dies and begins to stink. It's the devil. But now it says, bowels of mercies. Oh, when you're in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know what happened? We read yesterday about gifts of miracles, and people quickly think of miracles of casting out devils, and they're full of the devil themselves. Do you know what happens to people that live in the Holy Ghost? The Lord has told me, I've never quoted him, I've never repeated it. Wonderful things happen. For instance, to young men that determine to live a clean life. You know, God says, I will be a wall of fire round about. You know that these things happen. He says he will be a sanctuary for them in the midst of the enemy. There are things that your natural eyes cannot see. There are bodyguards, angels. He commandeth his angels over you. They guard you in all your ways. These evil thoughts that bothered you and troubled you, these pesky horseflies, they can't get near you anymore. They don't. They don't bother you. Things that bother other people, they will not bother you anymore. Where does the dumb come from? Why, it's the devil on the inside where Jesus ought to be. Might as well name it what it is. All these miracles, these wonderful miracles wherewith Jesus Christ prepared his bride for the wedding, these are not miracles that are advertised in these papers and magazines. They don't send photographers around and tell you how to stand and how to pose. But the angels of God know you, and the devils know you, and they wonder why they can't get near you. They wonder why they can't tempt you with lustful, conceited pride and criticism. They can't touch you anymore. Instead of that, the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost have come to abide in you. You've been partaker of his divine nature. And what is that divine nature? Well, here we have it. Bowels of mercy. Oh, what a beauty is the bride of Christ. What a marvelous beauty. The German papers have whole pages of marriage advertisements, people that want to get married. And they'll tell, here's a young man, 6 foot tall, weighing 175 pounds, handsome, good business, cleanly Protestant, which girl of good appearance, between 25 and 30, is willing to become acquainted with him, and so on. Answers with photograph, so and so and so and so. And so the post in Germany is very busy passing out these marriage announcements or marriage offers. But one day I read one that startled me. Some woman said, I'm 35 and fat and ugly and sometimes ill-tempered, but a good cook, and is there a gentleman who is willing to put up with me? Now, I didn't answer that. And I don't know whether she got any answer. I imagine she did. There are plenty of men that are fat and ugly too. You know? And like good cooking. But what does Jesus see in me, elect of God, holy and beloved? Bowels of mercy, kindness. Did you ever think that that belongs to your outfit? Kindness? Kindness. Kindness. Not kind, you know, like the harlots and the publicans that are kind to those that are kind to them. My, they can be kind. And some saints can be kind, too, when you're kind to them. And when you don't cross their track and don't crawl over their livers and don't do anything to displease them, but how they can snap with you. How they can hiss. You see the rattlesnake. You see that kitty. It came around with sweet, soft paws, you know, and the silk ribbon around his neck, and purring sweetly. But now the claws come out, and now he hisses. Kindness, kindness. Beloved, we ought to pray over it. Take your rosary. And with every bead, say, put on there for us, the elect of God, let's see now, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, yes, kindness, 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 until it grips you. Am I kind? Love suffereth long and is kind, kind, kind all the time. Yes, but he's all rough, fresh. So, gonna treat him like that. Because a crow crows at you, you've got to crow back, don't you? But if you're a canary bird, you won't. If you're a nightingale, you won't. And if you're a saint, holy and beloved of God, you won't. You won't. You can't. Others can, but you can't. The sun can't help but shine. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. Now I'm going to sit down when I'm through. Humbleness of mind. Dear Lord, that's something that we don't know yet. We haven't gotten acquainted with it. We don't know that kind of an element. Humbleness of mind. Thinking others better than myself. Does that appeal to you? Do you think it would be nice, instead of a dead fly in your ointment, to be free from it? Do you think it would be nice to have humbleness of mind? Beloved, Jesus Christ says, I am the truth. I am the life. Life is made for those that were dead in trespasses and sins, for you and for me. Oh, let us take out of his fullness his life. Everything else is not life. Everything else is not life. It's a dead fly or maybe a dead rat. Let's get rid of it. Oh, beloved, let's get rid of it. Today, we pride ourselves. Never mind, I'm going to let him have a piece of my mind. Beloved, it's a dead rat. You don't know it now, but when Jesus comes, how shamed we will be. When all these things come before judgment. Not only that, but God will give it a body as it has pleased him. Abraham Lincoln said that after 50, everybody has the face that he deserves. In other words, he's worked for it. Now, when we get our new body, we're going to get the kind of a body we worked for, I suppose. Logically. What kind of a face will you have in heaven? Well, you'll have the kind of a face you deserve. He says he'll reward every man according as his work shall be. We'll be surprised that maybe we'll be what? Remember that tract we had about a rich woman who died and went to heaven? And she was always very stingy. She had lots of money, but she was very stingy. Up came to heaven, and St. Peter introduced her to the New Jerusalem. And there was a beautiful palace. It shone just dazzlingly beautiful. And in the entrance, she saw a man that used to be her servant, used to shine her shoes and fix her garden. And she thought, of course, she could walk right in because she thought he was her servant. And Peter says, no, no, that isn't for you. That's his ballot.
What? What?
Oh, Brown. Palace like, boy, I'm going to have a whole city, I'm sure, if he gets such a beautiful place. So they went through the golden streets, and she was charmed with the beauty of the different sections of the New Jerusalem. And finally, they got into a back alley. And it looked awfully poor, 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 poor. And the houses were very small. Never clean, but finally Peter stopped in front of a little hut. And he said, well, lady, this is your house for eternity. Why, she was indignant.
Says, what, me?
And my servant in that palace? Well, Peter said, we had to build with the material that you sent over. You didn't send enough. You know that whatsoever a man soweth, you sow dead flies every day, and you put the dead flies in somebody else's perfume. That's what's the matter. We had in one home, not here, it was in another state, a girl that came and she dedicated herself to the service of the Lord. That is, she was a good baker and a good cook and so on, but a dumper par excellence. When she couldn't have her way, every little word would get her sore. She'd fix the meal and she'd slap it on the table, and then she'd race upstairs and cast herself upon her bed and sob out her grief. And have and entertained her thoughts and licked her sores. And you know, it brought an ill odor upon the whole house. Made everybody feel sort of depressed. How different it could be. Beloved, we serve the living and the true God, and it doesn't matter what your service is. You're serving not men. Don't you be the servants of men. Don't you think that you're going to receive from men. And when men don't pay you according to what you think they owe you, God Almighty will pay you. You serve the Lord Christ with every word, with every thought, with every act, with every attitude of mind. What do ye more than others? Tell me. I've rubbed it in, haven't I? Humbleness of mind, meekness. Oh, those are all attributes of Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Long suffering, praise the Lord. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And now we think we ought to graduate, but look what he says. And above all these things, what, is there any more than that? Why, we haven't even started putting on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. We don't do any too well at that. But after we've done all these things, he says, they were unprofitable servants. We've only done what we were commanded to do. He says, above all these things, put on love. Oh, which is the bond of perfectness. Now, praise the Lord. What an outfit Jesus has for his bride. No wonder all heaven rejoices and shouts, hallelujah. Let us give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. And his wife hath made herself ready. Lots of people think they're getting ready, but you know, in that day the king will come and he'll find one not having on a wedding garment. He hath the estimation of himself. Maybe he hath a reputation among men. But where's your wedding garment? This is the wedding garment. Love, and more than that, let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Now, these are some verses that would be well to pray over. My, what changes God would work in Brother Walt Fogel. Wouldn't you like to have a minister like that? But how about yourself? Glory to God.